Hello, friends, and welcome to The Point, the home services podcast that focuses on marketing and operational solutions to help you get better. Because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Now, let's cut through the bullshit and get to the point.
Hey, To The Point listeners, it's your boy, Chris Yano, the host of To The Point Home Services Podcast, along with my co-host, who's wearing the exact same hat as me, just in a different direction, Mr. Tall Paul. What's up, brother?
Yano, good to see you as always. You know, you always ask how I'm doing, and I fail to ask you, man. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm good, man. So this podcast is being recorded on the Wednesday just after Thanksgiving, where I got to go back home to the good state of Indiana. Shout out to my Hoosier folks. Including our guest, who is a Hoosier.
That's right.
I got to go back home and see my mom and my sisters and my nieces and my nephews and my aunts and uncles and just everybody. It feels good to go back home and kind of just go back to your roots where it all started. And, you know, it's always interesting because I take my kids by the farm where I grew up and they could literally care less. Like, that to them seems awful and boring. And, you know, getting them to look up from their phone to even look as I drove by is a struggle. But I grew up there, okay, man? I get to run out in the woods. Like, you rode your bike wherever you wanted. You know, you had dirt clod fights. Chad, you ever had a dirt clod fight?
Most likely. Okay. At some point or another.
So, crab apple trees, you'd have crab apple fights where you chuck crab apples at each other. All the stuff that you probably wouldn't let your kids do is exactly what we did. But it was good to go back home, man. And I love Thanksgiving. It just feels good to be around family and kind of be reminded of you know, where I came from, kind of back down to my roots. So I appreciate you asking, brother.
Well, I know you love Thanksgiving, but only because it's so close to Christmas. I don't know if I've ever met anybody, but I'd say you're top 10 most Christmas obsessed people I've ever met. You absolutely love every second of December. Did that start as a kid, or what made you Yano Claus?
Oh man, is this a session we're in? So I'll tell you this. It's the spirit of Christmas, I think, which I love, because anybody can get behind that, no matter what situation you are in your entire life. You know, and I grew up super poor. So, but my dad was exceptional at decorating, you know, and exceptional at telling great Christmas stories. And I just was always like a part of it, because it just feels good. Like, Christmas feels good. Like, the anticipation of Santa Claus coming, or the anticipation of getting presents, you know, is always exciting. I mean, and today is no different. I love to give. I can't wait till Santa Claus comes this year. I'm looking forward to it. but it's just, you know, the excitement of it. And I think that you know, we have this big sign in our house that says believe, you know, and at the Christmas time, you can choose to believe. You know, and believe in what? I just believe in the spirit of Christmas. And I think it just is something that's, you know, makes you feel good. And you know me, I'm an empathetic guy, man. So like, I just love it, and it's good. And it feels good to give. I love to give, you know, far more than receive anything. So,
and you love surprising people. You love surprising people. You don't love when people you care about ruin surprises, like I did a couple weeks ago.
I do not like that. No, but it is what it is. Everybody makes mistakes. And we know you certainly have to make your fair share. So I'll leave it at that. So okay, let's get to it. I want to get to our guest today. I am excited because, I mean, we're brothers, basically. I mean, from the same state. And ironically, he went to college in the town that I grew up in,
which was a rival of the college that I played at. That's wild.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So I'm excited to have our guest, Chad Peterman, on the show today. Chad, welcome, brother.
Thanks. Appreciate you guys having me.
Chad is the president of Peterman Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, El Presidente. I just want to throw that in there since we did it pre-podcast.
Every time.
Basically, paid the cost to be the boss, and now he's there. Now he's running the show. What's cool is that like I said, being from Indiana, and I was telling Chad this on our phone call, I think it was like last week or something like that, about, man, when you move out of state of Indiana, you always still kind of have this connection, or at least I've always had this connection of when you grow up in Indiana, and I'm a huge Purdue guy, Purdue fan. If you love Purdue, you hate Indiana, Indiana University. That is a rival that is like eons old, and everybody takes it serious. If you are a Purdue fan, you are not an IU fan. If you're a Wabash fan, you're not a DePaul fan. If you like, you just, they're just things that you don't do. You don't cheer for that team. But let me tell you what happens when you move out of state. You move out of state and you're gone for so long, you're just happy to see Indiana teams win. Okay. Like, next thing you know, I cheered for IU, and I didn't dare tell any of my friends that were Purdue fans back in Indiana because it's a no-no. But it just happens because you had to find some sort of connection to the state. So anytime I get the opportunity to, one, work with someone from back home or have a guest on, I certainly feel connected. So, man, Chad, I'm glad, excited to have you on and ready to get into it and talk about the successes that you guys have had. Are you ready, Paul?
Yeah.
I'm ready. Yeah. And Chad is also a podcast listener. So that was how we initially made this connection, right?
Absolutely. Enjoy it. I actually listened this morning as I was getting, I can't remember the guest name, but the guy who started the pool franchise.
Oh, yeah. Stuart.
Was Stuart on this morning. Yeah. Which was a fantastic story. I still can't believe that those guys turned their back on him.
I know.
Right at the last second. That's just crazy.
Yeah. I love stories like that, man. You could just see, like, I was getting fired up talking to him because I love stories like that, like comeback stories or I'm going to show you. Oh man, I love those stories. That's pretty cool. Now for you, you're in a multi-generational company, right? So your dad, Pete, started the company. Is that correct?
Yep. Yep. Started the company in 86. He was, kind of the similar story, graduated technical school in 80 during the middle of the recession, tried to find a job. Finally, someone gave him a chance, kind of cut his teeth out in service and install, doing a little bit of everything in a smaller company. And then in 86, as kind of the famed story goes around here, my mom was 6 months pregnant with me, and he came home and said that he was going to start his own company. So started out of the back of our garage in 86.
And where was that at? Kind of,
on the south side of Indy.
Okay.
Near Beech Grove area. Yep. So started the company, again, heating only, continued to grow the company, moved to a couple different locations here and there. I joined the company. I graduated from Wabash in 2009. Went to work outside the industry for a couple of years. Actually, in North Carolina, lived in Charlotte for a couple of years.
Where'd you work? What'd you do?
I was working as a account rep for a company based out of Pennsylvania. We sold adhesive into paper mills and packaging companies and stuff like that. So, spent 2 years traveling for a while. For work, and then came back home in 2011 to start with the company. Kind of got into everything. At the time, we were probably doing 6-7 million ish, but a lot of that was new construction. A good portion of that, probably about 6 million of that was new construction.
Wow. Okay.
And so I got in and just really kind of did everything, just trying to learn for the first couple of years. My younger brother works in the business with me now. He started full-time in 2013 after college and has since kind of, well, then and now is on the kind of the operational side. Around that 11-13 area, we also added plumbing and then we bought a smaller company in Columbus, Indiana, which we still have a location there today. And then in 2015, which is really our kind of growth turning point, in 15, we're still doing about 7 million ish around there. 15, we joined Nexstar, which has really catapulted us to really places we never really imagined that we'd go. From 15, we started to really implement Nexstar, continue to grow. We had added plumbing, excavation, drains, all of that stuff. In 18, we added a location in Lafayette, Indiana, for all you Boiler Purdue up. Fans. Yep, my wife works for Purdue. So
I like her already.
Yeah, exactly, and went to Purdue. So, yeah, so brings us up to present day. This past May, we moved into a brand new building just in Greenwood, Indiana, just south of Indianapolis. And currently, we'll finish up this year about 29 million. And we have roughly about 200 employees across all three locations. So,
dude, I didn't know you were that big. That's awesome.
It's been a quick ride. Like I said, we were only doing probably 6-7 million in 15-16. And a lot of that was new construction. We've since kind of backed our new construction is probably only about 5-10% of our total now. So
wow, what a huge shift.
So was many that, questions.
Yeah, like even before I get into the ones I really wanted to ask, just curiosity has taken over. That's a big shift from RNC to making the add-on replacement service.
Many make it.
What's that?
Many don't make it, and some people are still trying since 08.
Mm-hmm.
I bet your bottom line looks really good.
It looks a lot better than it would have.
I bet it would.
So was Nexstar a big kind of proponent of that, or how did you make that transition?
Yeah, so Nexstar and then having the team, which I'm sure we'll talk about our school and stuff like that as far as our real philosophy. And I think that we kind of stumbled upon this simply because my brother and I were from outside the industry. I have no industry experience, can't fix anything. My brother is not a technician either, but he's more mechanically inclined, operational type thing. So I think we stumbled into it because in the 15-16 was somewhat of a transition between my dad really running things to us. And I was actually talking to another Nexstar member before I got on this podcast, and we were talking about kind of the family dynamic. And our big thing was, and I'm so grateful and grateful every day for how my dad has kind of handled this and allowed us to grow the company. But he had kind of handled it the day to day in 15-16. And I think he found a lot of, just comfort in knowing that we had Nexstar behind us and practices and proven principles and a network that could help us grow. And, you know, I'm as big a Nexstar cheerleader as anybody. But, you know, there's tons of great organizations out there. It just so happens that we found Nexstar and love everything about it and promote it. But, you know, the key is for me is two things. It's one, it's taking what someone teaches you and then not first saying that it can't be done, because we can probably find someone who has shown that it can be done, and really taking the stuff and implementing, not just going to a conference and taking 10 pages of notes, but actually coming home and doing something with it. And that's only made possible. A lot of people ask me now that we're at the size that we are and there's layers of management and stuff like that. They're like, well, you know, it must be a little bit easier to get stuff done because there's more people to do things. And yeah, absolutely. But a lot of those same people who are here were there with us when we were at 40 people. And having a team that understands the importance of implementation and putting things in play and are not afraid to take a little bit of a risk because there may be failure on the other side is what ultimately continue just to propel you along that growth curve for sure.
So when you first started with Nexstar, what were those first biggest risks you had to take, the big rocks that you had to move to get things kind of paved for where you wanted to take it?
Yeah. So I think the first one that I can think of was how to roll it out. So you got to think in 15, we sign up with Nexstar in the summer of 15. So we got about 6 months left of the year. We're a company of about 35 people. Both sons of the company who are going to be the spearheads behind this have worked here for 4 and 2 years collectively. So figuring out how in the heck we're going to actually roll this out to the company without them laughing in our face or saying there's no way that we're doing this was key. So we spent about the back half of 15 just trying to figure out, okay, let's just take individual things and see if we can't just kind of slide it in there. Just kind of, here we go. I think another big thing was getting a hold of our numbers. So, you know, sure. When you're small, some people are, but we weren't at the time. We didn't have budgets. We didn't have like goal. We were just rolling and which was fine. And it was working. Heck, it worked for 25 plus years. Nexstar kind of holds you accountable. So I think that accountability piece was good. And then in 16, we kind of took those first initial steps. I can say one of the, or really two of the biggest things, which anybody that, is successful in this, will tell you is the call center and dispatch. And if you can get your call center to strictly book the call, And then you get your dispatchers thinking strategically about opportunity calls versus maintenance calls, and then what technician to send to what job. Stop dispatching by zip code, but rather by batting order. All of those things are what's going to propel you to the next level. And they seem simple, but they also seem counterintuitive to how you're supposed to run. And so really getting over those hurdles, I think was definitely key in the early going, for sure.
So I got a question for you. One, that's fantastic. And that's super methodical and can be very hard to execute without the right leadership. But those are like the little things too. I mean, you said batting order. That's brilliant. tee up your best guys. The whole zip code thing, I understand from an efficiency perspective. I understand if that's how you're looking at it. But that's awesome. So I'm going to back up for a second.
Yeah.
Now, anytime I've done interviews, and I don't get to do very many interviews, but early on I did. What's interesting is that when I looked at leadership, and this is where I'm going with it, is I wouldn't always look at where they went to school, like where they went to college. I was looking at experience. But anytime I came across somebody who was an athlete in college, I was an athlete in college, I always thought, well, man, if you're an athlete in college, regardless if it's D1, D2, like whatever it is, you had some discipline and you had some good work ethic, and you had some fight in you, some competitiveness in you. And those are three traits I would love to have in any good leader. So I would look at those things, right or wrong. It's just what I was motivated by. Now, did you play football at Wabash?
I did. Yep.
So what position did you play?
I started at corner my freshman year and then moved to safety after that.
Okay.
I guessed those in my head, by the way. I didn't say them out loud. He looks fast.
He looks fast sitting down.
Used to be.
So, but you kind of have that, you're playing football. You like to hit people. You must have had some speed and you moved to safety. So I'm guessing that you had to really learn to read the plays, read the, not the plays, idiot. I mean, like read what the quarterback's doing, loser.
He called me an idiot, by the way.
You would say that. You would say that. Paul's like, Paul, wait a second. Let's talk about the financials. I'm like, let's talk about hitting people, Paul. but you have to be smart and intuitive, you know, on the and that I think is all things that are good qualities of a leader. But would you attribute, you know, some of your leadership qualities to this kind of coming up? Because you also went to Roncalli, which is a super competitive, you know, high school in Indiana, and then going on and playing in college. Do you think some of that stuff, like you still today are utilizing some of those same like qualities, you know, to build not only to push yourself, but to, as you're building a leadership team and things like that, has that been part of the success?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, playing sports, I've played, basically all my life, my brother played football at the University of Indianapolis. You know, the one thing that I've always preached to my people that sports taught me were that if you look at any great athlete, that athlete at one point in his or her life was not the person they are and that you admire today. And so the important piece, especially in leadership, is oftentimes you find people in your organization that are waiting to be that leader, waiting to be that manager. I just got to put in my time. And what I learned from sports is that what you need to start doing is start acting like the person you want to become right now. And in sports, you have to do that. If you want to get to the championship level that whatever team you aspire, you want to take your team to, you got to start acting like that champion today. It's not if we get to the championship, I'm going to play really hard in front of all the people. It's what would a champion be doing today? Would they be getting up early? Would they be getting extra reps in? Would they be practicing like they play? Would they be, you know, goofing around when you're not supposed to? All of those things that you learn coming up through discipline and sports, working together as a team, encouraging your teammates, all of that stuff has to start today. And anytime I talk to, another business or something, and they're like, oh, yeah, you guys look like you've had some great growth. And how do you do that? And what do you think the key is? And I said, well, one, you need to get really, really clear about where you want to go, because you may want to go here. Well, that's a little bit different plan than if you want to go there. So get really clear on where you want to go, and then you need to figure out how you're going to lead your team to get there. And they've got to understand that you have a plan and that you have the ability to execute, or else no one's ever going to follow you.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, Housecall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Yeah, so on one of the walls in this office, it says every day is game day. So, you know, it is. I tell my son this, he's 9, and I'm always like, dude, you're going to practice. Practice like it's a game. I mean, you want to practice to learn, but practice like it's a game. Bring the same intensity, bring the same focus, bring the same, like, you know, paying attention. And he's 9. Like, so maybe I'm overdoing it, but I'm just trying to get that autopilot built to where he's focused on bringing it every day. Like, every day is game day, because that's going to follow him all the way through his entire life. So I'm a huge fan of those types of things. You talk about, I thought it was really good that you were saying, you know, act like, you know, you, wherever you're trying to go, like, start acting like it right now. Well, something I used to have to do, and I don't know if you ever did the same thing, but I was a wrestler. And so I would always look at the rankings, man. I was always look at the rankings just to see who, you know, who I'm wrestling and who are mutual opponents that we've wrestled before. But ever before I wrestled any of them, I always went through like 15 wrestling matches in my mind with that person before I ever stepped foot on the mat and wrestled them. So in my brain, I'd already beaten them 15 times. So when I went out there, I felt like I was mentally prepared to win, because I didn't lose any of those matches that I never imagined. And I literally would go through each period of what I was going to do and the timing. And it seemed as real to me as it did when I went out there and wrestled them on the mat. But it was just this mental preparation I forced myself. I would force myself through, because what it did was it set a pattern in me. And it was this pattern to, and this is actually kind of one thing where you know, Paul coming and working with us has been really helpful for me, is I get so laser focused on my goal that I have a hard time focusing on multiple things at the same time. So I really have to compartmentalize the things I want to go after. But the problem is there's so many things I want to accomplish to hit my goal, and I'm trying to chip away at all of them. The problem for me is that I'm not great at managing people. I'm the CEO, you know, and for anybody that's listening for the first time, I'm a CEO of a digital marketing company called Rhino Strategic Solutions, and it's a digital marketing company for the trades. I was really good at sales and really good at marketing. I suck at managing people. Now, Paul's good at managing people, but Paul also was good at managing me. And helping me manage my expectations of myself and my expectations of what I wanted to accomplish for the company. That's good leadership, right? Like, he came in and was able to help me respectfully as his, you know,
boss.
I hate to say it, but he's my boss. But I feel like that was a really good quality as a leader to help move this company forward. So part of this is, you don't know everything, Chad. The reason you went to NextStar is you wanted to learn from others. The reason you try to listen to podcasts is to get better in learning from others who are doing things. It makes sense to do that. So, I mean, you listened to the podcast when we had Gary Vaynerchuk on, and when we asked him, I think, can't remember if it was Paul or Paul had asked, you know, you have, we already had the shortage for technicians. What do? He said, I build my own school. You know, I incubate my own technicians. That's how we ended up connecting. Cause you said, hey man, I'm actually, I've done that. That's what I'm doing. So you and Gary are basically the same.
let's get into that.
Well, that's where I'm going to go. So I want to segue into that because I am super, anybody who's listened to this podcast enough knows I am super passionate about trying to introduce, more young kids into the trades sooner. Especially because the high school is not doing a phenomenal job of being helpful there. So, you can, and I remember a previous guest that was on last week, Chad, his name is Brent Buckley. Guys selling $7 million a year in, you know, add-on replacements. Like that's his job. Now he talks about ducting and things like that, getting into it, but that is a phenomenal living. Just do the math. He makes 10% commission, not including his salary. That's a lot of money he's making as a technician. Not saying that's what everybody's going to make, but let's say you made a quarter of that. That's still a hell of a good living, right? To make, you know, you make $200,000 a year. I just think it's really important to get out there as much as possible how good the trades can be for you to make a living. Male, female, doesn't matter. And so another thing is that this technician shortage, you can look at it a couple different ways. You can be like, yep, it's a shortage, man. Like everybody's dealing with it and do nothing.
Hard to find good people.
Yep. I'm just going to go and try and do an AccuHire maybe and go that route. Or you can be proactive and do what you're doing. The exact same thing that when we asked Gary Vaynerchuk what he would do is he would start his own school. And so now you have Peterman Top Tech Academy. Let's segue into that. Because I want to understand first, before we talk about it, what was it that in your brain made you shift and say, I'm doing this, and then do it? Because it's not like an easy thing to do, but I'm curious to know that moment when you're like, we're doing it. And when that was, and now kind of like what you're building today, because it's phenomenal. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, thanks. Something I'm definitely truly passionate about that we launched back in at the beginning of October with our first class. You asked when was the moment that I knew. Unfortunately, I wish I would have been had more foresight to see it before I needed it. But what I can tell people is as you grow, what you begin to pick up, especially in the HVAC and plumbing, if you have a membership program or a service protection club or whatever it is, what that does is you begin to pick up velocity as you grow. And that velocity puts you in a place where you don't say, oh, I need one technician. You look out into the next season and go, I need six. And as you were talking, the biggest thing that we have is we have a shortage of, I want to choose my words wisely here. We have a shortage of technicians that are currently in the trades, good technicians that are in the trades. What we don't have is a shortage of good people. And unfortunately, in the trades, we've all been conditioned to think that we have to fish all in the same pond. And that's, you know, Johnny from ABC over here. Well, if I can get him to come over to my spot and then so on and so forth. Well, we all know what that leads to. What that leads to is
a battle.
Never being able to break his bad habits. And all of a sudden your way becomes his way. And it's just an endless cycle.
And bad blood upon bad blood. Yep.
And so I think that coupled with needing more and more technicians, kind of led me to the belief of I've got to make this school thing happen. And I was in the same boat. I had been to two mentors of mine, been to one of their shops and talked with one other one extensively who had schools.
You can drop names.
Jonathan Bancroft out at Morris Jenkins in Charlotte. Morris Jenkins, they're rock stars out there.
Unbelievable.
If you ever get to do anything that they do, just do it. Don't ask questions. And then Kent Gursky out at Anthony's Plumbing, Heating, Electrical out in Kansas City. They're a rock star as well. Kent's got a great thing going. I think they've been running their school for about 4 years. And so a lot of ours is those guys helped me create it. And that's really the NextStar network at work is really there with their guidance. I was able to really kind of craft what we wanted ours to look like. another key component, and I'll kind of plug NextStart, not that I haven't already, but they created what's called the Next Tech Academy, which is an online platform that basically trains technicians. And so we utilize their online platform combined with lab work and then ride-alongs with our field trainers to really implement our curriculum, if you will.
Love it. You said something early on that I caught kind of subtly is you didn't come from the industry. So you came from outside the industry into the business. Do you think that that path has actually made you a little more open-minded to like doing something like this where most wouldn't do it?
I think so. Yeah. I think that along with, as you mentioned earlier in the learning piece, like we were talking, I can't remember if it was in the pre-show or on the show about your guest this morning. Well, he is a pool franchise. Well, what can you learn from a guy selling pools and pool cleaning that you can implement in your business? And I think he actually talked of an example of that he had maybe learned. I think just being from outside the industry, and then I think taking the mentality of it doesn't have to be like this. If it's broken, stop doing it. Do something different. That's always just been my mentality, is we can learn so much from outside industries, whether it be, you know, we do base some of our marketing on dentistry, you know, well, same thing, got to have a semi-annual checkup. Well, how do they market to you? You know, we took actually from the dentist, we started, one of the things we always complained about each year was, you know, God, we did their furnace tune-up, but God, we called them three times in the spring to schedule this thing. And then someone said, well, at the dentist, they just ask you what date you want out in April. And we said, well, why can't we do that? So we just started doing that. So every fall, like when we come to your house, we're going to schedule your spring cleaning right then and there, but then it's on your calendar. Well,
done.
That makes sense.
Yep. Yeah. Harder to move the appointment. Well, you know, one thing that's interesting is that, you know, I think you and I talked about this on our initial call. Ken Goodrich actually hires leadership outside of the industry on purpose.
Yep.
Like his guy that runs his Tucson store used to be an old fighter pilot. First off, that's pretty badass.
Yep.
You know, those guys are pretty smart. And then his COO also came from outside the industry, and like some of his like key leadership came from outside the industry. And he said the reason is that they're not already pigeonholed into this thought process from being in the industry. I like that idea.
Yeah.
And then there's plenty of smart people, plenty of really intelligent, smart, super successful people within the industry too. I just get it. I understand. Like I think the different perspective can certainly be helpful. Paul, what were you gonna say?
I just wanted to jump in back to the Tech Academy. So you ran your first class in the fall. I noticed that there's registration available now for students. Talk about the structure, talk about the target candidate, and what's it look like from start to finish?
Yeah, so I think it falls pretty closely with what Chris's last comment about finding people from outside the industry. So all of our students, we have 16 students in this first class, 9 HVAC and 7 plumbing students. And so all of these students have never worked on HVAC or plumbing in their life. They come from all different walks of life. We have former paramedics, people that worked at Lowe's. We've got guys that, you know, wherever, one of the ladies who's a plumber in our Lafayette, or she'll go to our Lafayette location, was in manufacturing for like 16 years. Mm-hmm. And wanted a career change. So so we start recruiting these people. There's so our first class will finish up towards the middle to end of January. And then they'll go out into their HVAC maintenance and plumbing maintenance respectively. And then we've already started recruiting for our class that will start February 1st. So we'll have another class of probably 16 students coming in. And the recruiting process is fairly involved. I think that's where we decided early on that we were going to make this recruiting process a heck of a lot different than your normal, everybody's been there sitting across the table, crossing your fingers, hoping the guy can drive and pass a drug screen because you need a technician and he can play on your team. Yeah. And so
nailed it.
Yeah. So, in our first class, we were a little rushed on recruiting just because we wanted the things to line up. But we put the ad out on Indeed for 2 weeks. We received over 600 resumes for the first class. So 600 resumes obviously sounds intimidating. We boiled that down to about 60 phone interviews and then about 30 in-person interviews to get to a class of 16. So wow. It does take a lot. Definitely having, we have a recruiting coordinator who heads up all of that and make sure that that we're getting the right candidates in. One resource I can definitely give you and everybody, I guess, listening is The Ideal Team Player by Patrick Lencioni. He literally outlines hungry, humble, smart is what we're looking for. I took that from Kent out at Anthony's. You know, that's what we're looking for. Well, Lencioni in the back of the book outlines the entire interview process. So we just literally took his interview process and utilized it simply because a lot of that stuff there aligns with our values as a company. And it's really cool, the interview process, because it's very value-based. It's, I mean, obviously we're not asking them how many years have you worked on furnaces? Well, they haven't. Zero is the answer. You know, I think we can often get caught in that trap where we're not only hoping that the technician who says he's got 5 years experience, like that's like attractive. Well, we have known nothing about that 5 years of experience. So being able to just base it on values and making sure there's a line, what we've already seen, and this is before they even go out on their truck, and our school is completely separate from our official building, but we've seen a bump in culture and a bump in morale because these people have the right values. They're hungry. They want to learn. They're excited. They've got a new career. All of those things, which we want in every employee, these people, we screen specifically for those traits. And so, that's just me. Yeah.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that's been huge as far as the structure goes. And then I can jump into kind of how we train them if you'd like as well.
Yeah. Well, quick question. I wanted you to rank those three values, hungry, humble, smart, from most important to next important.
That's tough.
I know how I would rank it.
I would say
hungry, humble, smart, the same way you said it.
I toyed around with maybe switching the top two, but yeah, I think it'd probably be that.
I'm a fan of A+ human beings, by the way.
Yeah.
Very good. So I know you wanted to transition into the next phase, but a quick question.
Yeah, which one?
Logistics wise, are they on your payroll during this whole training period or what's that look like?
Yeah, so the way that we work it is they become an employee of Peterman the day that they start the academy. So they become, and they become a paid employee. So we pay them a wage for their time while they're in the academy. Big reason there is one, people told me to do it, so just do it. And then the other one is so that they're not having to worry about, you know, putting food on the table. They can focus on their training. They just left the job. They need income. So that's been good for us too. Yes, it's an investment, but one that I've been told and what looks like early, or about 2.5 months in, looks like that, yeah, definitely this is the way to do it, as opposed to, you know, setting up an, you know, evening program or something. Not that there's not validity in that. Someone may be able to figure something out there. Yeah. But that's kind of the way we structured it.
Yeah, I want to jump in real quick. So, but you also get the focus. Because if you do an evening program, then they might be juggling multiple things. And I don't know how you can effectively do that many things at the same time. But I think what it also probably does for you is it gives you more legit candidates, like people wanting to come in, because you got to be able to have a living. And when you, I think we talked about this, how cool is it that I can come in and get paid to be able to create this amazing job that's got an amazing future to it? That's pretty exceptional. And so I think you got really good advice. And from others that I've known being in the industry for so long who do something similar, like maybe not, you know, created their own school, but they got their own, like, little in-house training program. Those that do I've always preached, you know, paying them is the best way to go, because you capture all their attention and you get to take care of them. Like, they come in immediately as good human beings, but they're automatically feeling like, yeah, I feel good, man. They're not only taking care of me, they believe in me, they're putting all this education and all this training, all this skill and stuff. They're teaching me all this stuff, but they're also paying me, because you can't live without money, you know? Yeah. So I think that's great that you offer that. And I think that's only going to be, and I still think it's actually an exception to what most do. So there's also a competitive advantage there for you.
And I can tell you too, that, you know, our trainers, so we have a full-time HVAC and a full-time plumbing trainer. And the one thing that they mentioned, and this was probably like week two of our first class, is they're, you know, our entry-level people that we used to bring in and just say, well, go ride with Johnny, he's a senior technician for a couple of weeks, and hey, Johnny, report back when, you know, Billy's ready to go out in the truck. Once we started this school, we're like, how dumb were we? Like, that's really the training that we gave them and expected them to be successful?
Go get in the truck.
Yeah, go get them. And and what our trainer said is like, oh my God, like the focused training that they're able to have in our lab or riding with the tech, like it is so much better. And they're so much further along in a much shorter time than they would have been otherwise. And for me, that was the most important thing to hear coming back, is like, okay, this is the right way to train them. Them being able to focus.
What does the curriculum and the duration look like?
Yeah, so duration is a little bit up in the air right now with this first one. Like I said, it probably 3.5 to 4 months is probably what we're going to have them in there. It may be closer to four, but we're not sure. This last month is kind of like, we have some, I guess I should backtrack. The piece that we have guiding the whole thing is Nexstar's Nextech curriculum, which they created. It's completely online. And you go in, you watch videos, you take aptitude test afterwards, all of that stuff. So that curriculum is really guiding us through the 3 to 3.5 months. Mm-hmm. And then obviously we've got to implement, you know, how to work Service Titan, how to, you know, do all of the things that they're going to have to do while they're out in there being a technician. So they are, our HVAC class is in the classroom and lab. So we turned our old building that we just moved out of ripped up all the office area up front, turned it into classrooms. And then there's a lab, fully functional equipment lab in the back. So they spend Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday in the classroom and lab. And then they ride, I may have those dates mixed up, but point is, and then they ride out with our field trainers on Wednesdays and Fridays. So 2 days out in the field, 3 days in the classroom and lab. And then our plumbing students do the same thing. They just flip-flop days in there, but that's what it looks like.
And the instructors, were these employees you had on staff before?
Yeah. Yeah. So plumbing and heating instructor have been with us for probably, well, the heating one, maybe 10 years, plumbing close to 7, I would say, has been with us. Guys that are super experienced and all of that stuff, really just looking to kind of take on a new role and really passionate about working with the students, for sure.
That's got to be a good transition going from the truck to the lab.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that more so for the plumbing, in our case, the plumbing trainer, it was kind of what he wanted to do. Like we put people with him all the time just because he knows plumbing. But I think the other important thing, and I think the thing that you get, I was going to mention when Chris, you were talking about kind of the, you know, paying them and the focused training, was the ability to instill your culture in them. If they're just coming in the evenings, it's kind of like a check the box type thing. But if they're here 40 hours a week training in your facility, wearing your sweatshirt and wearing your hat, like they become a part of your company way before you need them to perform. They just get to kind of incubate in your culture really live it and feel it. And then all of a sudden they take that out to the customer, which I think is a really good thing too.
Yeah. Huge. They become part of the Peterman family right then. And that's what you want. Like I said, I was like, you know, whenever I'm looking at when I do get the chance to interview, or even when any leadership team that's interviewing, is we love to look for A plus human beings, and hopefully they're at least like a C professionally, because you can take somebody from a C to an A, but if you got a good, having a good human being is a big piece of it, part of that culture. Culture is huge.
Yep.
So have you done any kind of forecasting to project what your ROI might be on this first set of technicians that are going to come to the program?
So it'll be interesting to see. The people that I've talked to that have done this before say that within about a year's time, the technicians that you bring through your school will be your top technicians.
Wow.
Even with that little of experience, because they buy in, they have no bad habits. And they buy in day one to what you're telling them to do, because there's no other, I'll do it my way. This is the only way to do it. So, I've heard tons of success stories. I know a couple of them, the people that come through their school end up being their top technicians.
Man, I completely agree. I can see all that. Yeah. Sorry, I'll cut you off.
Well, and really to the point where like Morris Jenkins and Anthony's, they very rarely, I won't speak in definites, but they primarily bring people into their company from outside the industry, and they go through their training program. That's how you become a technician there at their company. Yep. They don't do it. They may not do it exclusively, but a lot of the time that's what they're doing.
It's funny you mentioned Morris Jenkins. So I live in Charlotte, just north of Davidson. So I see them all the time. And when people ask me like, what should I do marketing wise? I'm like, well, you could start by doing everything Morris Jenkins does. Like you don't have to recreate anything.
Yeah.
Just brilliant what they do over there.
Yep. Yeah. And I think the thing that I love about Morris Jenkins is, not even that, they're big and they figured a bunch of stuff out, but it's their culture. And that starts at the top, but they just have a bunch of people who are really bought into a mission, which is, I think, what we're all trying to do in our companies is get everybody on the same page, fighting for the same thing.
Right. Well, what's cool about this is you also give yourself a competitive advantage in your own market. Mm-hmm. And I think two things come to mind when you're talking about it. One is you talk about having really good instructors. So that's key. You can have, like you play football, you might've been an exceptional athlete, but you might've been a sucky leader. Like you're just a good athlete. Like not all great athletes are good, teachers or coaches. So finding a really good instructor is key to teaching them the way, like the Peterman way, essentially, to basically, how you guys do it is the only way they've learned and they know. So there's no like outside, nothing jacking with them. So, and you're not having to remold somebody into something, like that's a whole nother problem. So you are starting from scratch and kind of teaching it your way. That's best for you, that you guys, that comes from your guys' beliefs and years of, being in business. The other piece to this is, and we talk about this often, and so something that's the most frustrating for me, I've competed in that market against you early on. I mean, when I started this company, I would say arguably probably your largest competitor was my customer. And this happened with them. It's happened with a lot of big companies. It's happened with Goodrich, who's, 180 million. Is this, we could go after, we're a digital marketing company. So all our job is to bring in residential out and replacement and service leads, period. That's my job. But at some point, the lead volume coming in, it wasn't a leads game. It was a bodies game. There was not enough staff to go and run the lead volume. So we're pausing these campaigns over and over and over again, even the biggest companies problem. And so if you couldn't get an acquisition done fast enough to get the bodies or whatever it is, what you're doing is actually projecting into the future that you're going to take share. You're going to have to. Why? Because you're going to out labor your competitors in that market, and you're incubating the system already. Like that's so exciting. So, the only way that this company Rhino grows is if our customer grows. So nothing is more frustrating when we're bringing in lead volume and having to pause campaigns because of not enough staff. So frustrating. Yeah. So you're giving yourself a significant competitive advantage by doing this way, but also doing good for the industry. So super excited about that for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the one point I'll put on there is in really a, just kind of a restatement of what you said, but I think it's extremely important. It's, you know, I talked about picking up velocity as you grow. Well, the only problem with that is it's a lead velocity is what you're picking up. How do we pick up labor velocity? And I think we do that through the school. And when you can pick up labor velocity, there's more heating and plumbing work out there that you may not ever pick it up because it there's just the work is just it's out there. I think if we've seen anything through this pandemic, it's the work is not going away. Everyone has to go home and everyone has a plumbing system and a heating system. Yep. And that's the beauty of what the business that we're in and the advantage we have. We just have to understand that we've got to work to create that labor velocity.
Yep.
So I can see very clearly like the short-term benefit of this and where you're taking it. And I think it's brilliant and I admire you for starting it and doing it, right? But mm-hmm. what's the long-term vision? Where do you want to take this? Where do you want to take the company? You've got a lot of runway left.
That was my question, Paul.
Sorry, Chris.
Right here on my paper. Can't you see? Jeez. All right. Sorry. Yeah. Chad. Go ahead. Answer Paul's question.
Right now, you know, we always talk about the growth of our company is not to be the biggest. It's to create opportunity for our people on our team. Hopefully what this school will provide is allow us to keep growing at the rate that our people are growing inside. But, you know, for me, it's really to continue to grow, whether that be more locations. Obviously, I'm a huge believer that Indianapolis, the market that we sit in and drive around in every single day, has got more opportunity in it than I can probably even fathom. It's just massive. I mean, it is literally massive to the point where, hopefully this school is kind of that catalyst to you know, really unlock a lot of that potential that we may be saying, I think we're running out. No, you're not running out of customers. They're building houses like it's going out of style.
Right.
For me, I think it's just continuing to do that and really working to be a better place of growth for our people. Unfortunately, I feel like our industry has been one that's been characterized as, you know, well, if you're a technician, you're a technician. The only place you can go is service manager, I guess. And really creating a place where opportunity is abound. You know, we have on our team right now, she actually launched our school. I'd be remiss to talk about the school and not talk about her. She's an absolute rock star. Her name's Danny, and she is our team member success coordinator. And she coordinates all of the training all across the company.
Shout out to Danny.
Yep. She's incredible. And she had really, her hands are really all over the school, putting the curriculum together. We've probably shared it with umpteen dozen companies who are interested in starting a school because, well, as I said, that's how we got started with someone helping us. So continuing to help people. I love doing that. I said, I think early on, I was talking to another NextStar member before I got on here. We got to where we are because of help. Hopefully, you know, this podcast and ones like it reach out to those guys that are, you know, stuck or frustrated or just need a little map and can, you know, glean a little bit of education off of stuff that we're doing right or that we've done wrong and hopefully try to fix.
I love it, man. This is so cool. I'm super stoked for you and just kind of watching it as it grows. I mean, I'm guessing Pete and Beth, your mom and dad, got to be super proud.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I mean, being able to go to work, my dad's still, he's semi-retired. So he's in the office still stirring up things. You know, my brother sits right next to me. You know, we just have a ball doing it. I woke up this morning, you know, listen to your guys' podcast, listen to another one, and just excited about the challenges that we have and the team that we have to overcome those and turn them into opportunities.
You gotta be passionate about the process.
Yep.
Have you ever thought of or envisioned a world in which you're training technicians for other companies or you're like franchising this tech school and opening up in Minneapolis and Miami and
yeah. So, we are in our school is, at our old building, which isn't, but probably 5-10 minutes from where we're at now. But we are in the process of purchasing some more land, very right behind where we're at in our new building. And I think the hope is to bring the school and training lab close to our home. But yes, that is something I have thought about a lot, figuring out the model for how that looks. But yeah, because as we talked, it's not only to help our company, it's to help the people that are looking for a stable career and to, you know, support their families. And then also the industry as a whole. To me, we have all got to get together and figure out a way. This training thing is not, we have the knowledge. The knowledge is in your company. We just have to figure out a way to get it to the people that aren't in the industry, to bring the good people in to our industry, train them properly, and they can be productive members of the trades. And we can restore a lot of integrity and pride into what it is that we do, because it is an honorable trade for sure.
Amen to that.
Pretty good drop mic moment right good there to close out.
Well, we are around, I think, the 55 minute mark, which is Paul's favorite time.
It's the perfect time.
Perfect time, 55. It's just before an hour. But listen, man, I appreciate it so much. Man, this is great. I'm super excited for you and just excited to, again, watch the process go through. I'll be super curious to hear once the first class rolls out, kind of how all that goes, and then what you're ultimately going to learn from it and just, cause you're going to learn something from it and you're going to do something different, but you're doing it. You responded to the call of labor velocity.
Yeah.
I like that term. We got to figure out how to incorporate that into the title of this episode somehow. Labor velocity, but, yeah, man, you came up with a solution and you did it. Like you did it. That's what I love about it, man. It's like, you know, you talked about going to the meetings and writing down, taking notes, and, you know, you actually got to do something. You know, don't talk about it. What, Paul?
Be about it. And speaking of being about it, you wrote a book prior to all this. Tell us about the book and tell us where our listeners can pick up a copy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, last year, I finished it up at the end of last year, in 19, it's called You Can't Stop the Growth. And it's about really the story of what I kind of explained to you guys at the very beginning of kind of our growth path and how we did it. And the title, I'll try to be quick here, but the title is from a conversation that we had, my brother and I had with my dad. Early on, as any family business, you know, dad built the company, kind of the slow and steady growth. And we were growing at 30 and 35% a year. When things looked, you know, could look out of control if you didn't, you know, really know what was going on. And, you know, his advice was, you know, you guys need to be careful and stuff. And I had thought about it and got frustrated. And in a moment of frustration said, Dad, I can't stop it. And he just kind of looked at me weird. And I said, if we continue to grow our people are going to want to be better next week than they were this week. And guess what? They're going to grow the company, and it's our job to provide them the platform on which to grow themselves, and they'll ultimately grow our company. And so the book really just tells our story, what we do, how we do it, basically a longer form of this interview. Mm-hmm. You can find it it has a website, can'tstopthegrowth.com. You can order it there on Amazon or wherever, or reach out to me. I can get you any resources that we've talked about. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm Chad M. Peterman. More than happy to share. Love talking about this stuff, as you can probably tell.
Yeah, man. We'll make sure to tag it in our post too. Roundabout, roughly, what is it? Is there an audio version of the book? Is it just a hardback? What is it?
It's paperback. Yep.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I've found that I try to listen to the audio books. The problem is it's too easy for me to space out.
Yep.
I read the paperbacks, I can highlight as I go. Like, we're reading a book right now, Paul and I, called Traction. A book about EOS. Right. And so I'm having to go back and highlight it, because by the time I get to the end of the chapter, I'm like, oh shit, what the hell did I just, I got to go back and look at my highlights to make sure I keep in caught up, but it works for me.
Yep.
Well, congrats on the book, man. Yeah. We'll put it out there. And just congrats on the success. It's, man, you're just getting started. You're still so young and you still have quite a bit to go. And then the progress that you're making so far, I can't wait to see what it looks like in 5 years. So, appreciate you being on here, man. Appreciate you being a listener. That's pretty cool. I always love that. I mean, that's the whole reason we do this, is to try and give those little nuggets. And I'm certainly glad that you can recognize that the reason we had a guy that built a pool company to a $70 million business and then sold it to Authority Brands for who knows how much. It wasn't about the swimming pool company. It was about the process, the business of it, and what you can take away from that and implement into yours. That was the point. That is the whole point of bringing on guests that aren't just in the industry, is to try and get those listening to maybe think outside the box. So appreciate you, dude. Appreciate you taking the time. Paul, any final words for Chad?
So quick question. You mentioned Anthony's, you mentioned Morris Jenkins. Early in your Nexstar days, who were some of the most influential people that you admire the most or had an impact on the business?
So I met Kent last year. But Jonathan is a guy at Morris Jenkins. He's a guy that he may not know that he's my mentor, but I have adopted him as such. and so I watch everything he does. I try to send him stuff when I see it to be of value. I know that he doesn't need a little guy like myself doing what he's doing to give him advice, but anything that I see that may benefit him. But really, the Nexstar network in general, our business coach, John Conway, he used to own Conway Services in Memphis. And he's been a huge help to us as we've grown. But we talked a little bit about it earlier about finding those people and being who you want to be. I get whenever I can tune in the podcast and you guys have got someone on here who's just killing it, like, I'm listening, taking notes, doing whatever I can because they've got something that I need to learn. So Nexstar is a great network and it's definitely done a lot for us as far as the mentors there.
Well, well done, my man.
Can I have a second to tell a quick Jonathan Bancroft story?
Oh boy.
So I used to work for a major manufacturer, Lennox, for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I was a district manager here in North Carolina. And, I got a call from Morris Jenkins one day, which is unusual because we didn't sell equipment to them. And it was their director of training, Jerry Rollins. Do you know Jerry?
I don't know him specifically. And,
okay. So they were building a training lab and they wanted to have some Lennox equipment so that they could have every piece of equipment. And one, I was honored that they wanted Lennox equipment in there. And two, this is a big customer and I was expecting that they wanted the equipment for free or at least at a discount. And so I can't remember if I offered it to them at a discount or free or whatever, but they insisted on paying absolutely full price for every single item. Insisted. Wouldn't accept a discount. So those are the kind of people that are down there at Morris Jenkins. Shout out.
Yeah.
See, my sales brain kicks in and I think they didn't want to give you any leverage.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm kidding.
That's a really good point. That's smart though. Yeah. So anyhow, I dragged this one on. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Just shut it down, Paul. Jeez. All right. I'm going to try for the third time to close this thing out. Paul, I'm not going to ask you any more questions. Chad, again, appreciate you, man. Hope everybody listening got a lot of information out of this. I know you did. And like Chad said, hopefully if you got some good nuggets out of this thing that you actually take them and implement them and put them in place, or at least try, or if not even try, ask for help, ask questions, at least move it forward. Do something because every single day is game day. Until next time, thank you so much. Keep leaving reviews. Keep subscribing. We love all that stuff. Keep sharing it with all your homies or your homets, whatever. You get what I'm talking about. Until next time, we'll see you.
Thank you for listening to The Point. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please consider leaving us a review in the App Store. And don't forget to share with your friends. Till next time, kick some ass.